How do you approach the patient who's older, not a candidate for intensive therapy, IDH?
Yeah. So ivosidenib, the IDH1 inhibitor, is actually approved as frontline therapy. And again, if we wanted to look at who might be somebody looking at this, if somebody had had prior hypomethylating agent for MDS and then progresses to AML and has an IDH1 mutation, it's on label if you want to try it. What's been the experience giving the drug? And my experience has been similar to what is out there on the trials. I'm not an author on the trials, but I've given plenty of these drugs post-launch after they were approved. It's an easy drug to tolerate, both ivosidenib and enasidenib. These drugs don't have a lot in the way of side effects that, you know, compromise patients' daily quality of life. The thing we can get into that is an issue is it can actually work a little bit too well.
Right.
They can induce differentiation of the leukemic clone, which, granted, we just need to recognize and then manage. If you see it, it can be severe. It can even be life-threatening. You have to have a high index of suspicion, and you need to alert the patients to this too, because they may be sitting at home saying, oh, I don't feel like going in to see the doctor today. I've got this cough, and I don't want to sit in the waiting room, and you know, I've been having a low-grade temperature, and they don't know that their white count is now 25,000, and it's all neutrophils. Induction of differentiation can be life-threatening in these patients, and they can go from being well to sick fairly quickly. We have seen cases of differentiation syndrome at our center in patients treated with these drugs. I do recommend hospitalization to manage that, at least to see what's the pace of this, and does this respond to steroids? We give dexamethasone as we would in APL patients, based on the experience on the trial and in discussions with other people in the field. That's basically our standard approach now. It does control the side effect. It doesn't necessarily control the disease in the way that we see with APL therapy. So with APL, when you induce somebody with arsenic and all-trans-retinoic acid, you see virtually everybody go into remission within a few weeks. And that is not necessarily the case when you treat with an IDH inhibitor. So you may tone down the differentiation syndrome. You may need to treat again and again. The pace of response is relatively slow to these drugs. The differentiation syndrome usually doesn't happen in the first 2 weeks, but it can happen really any time after that. So it may take a month or two before you see this. And the challenge is sometimes it can look a lot like progressive disease. So the white count shoots on up, you only see a few blasts, 10% blasts in the periphery, you say, let's move on to something different here. That may not be the right choice, because you may actually just be seeing that the clone is differentiating, it's spinning out a few blasts as that happens. And if you continue therapy, continue these patients on steroids, they may be able to get through that. You often in that setting, if they have leukocytosis, will also have to give hydroxyurea to control the white count. We've done that. And then you just got to watch and see. If patients are feeling better on steroids and hydroxyurea, then we can usually continue the therapy in the outpatient setting after a few days and start tapering the steroids. And importantly, these drugs are long-lived. So stopping the IDH inhibitor is not adequate to say, I'll just watch this go away, because it takes weeks for that to get out of your system. I think the half-life of ivosidenib is about 5 days. So if you stop the drug, it'll take 2 to 3 weeks before the drug levels drop enough for you to see a treatment effect that might be induced by that therapeutic change. You really need to treat that with steroids, not with stopping the drug. And only if the patient had a severe reaction that was life-threatening would I hold the drug.